This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Cray, providing high-performance computing systems and world-class services and support to government, industry, and academia. Visit www.cray.com.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
IBM aims for mainstream.
And T Platforms moves upstream.
Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for November 5th, 2010. Available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined once again by Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael.
Well, here we are, just a week out, a little more from SC, and we're trying to track the news, but we happen to catch some interesting developments.
Well, some of the things are starting to percolate a little bit. People are getting their ducks in order for supercomputing. I think it's all going to start exploding next week, I think. The final calm before the storm.
Yeah, I think there's some actually stories coming out next week. People are going to get a jump on the festivities, and we're going to see some major announcements next week, even before the conference.
Yeah, and I don't think there was a total void either. I mean, IBM was out there with kind of a strategic statement, and it was an interesting contrast to some news from T Platform the previous week that we didn't have a chance to get to. But why don't you start us off with IBM?
Yeah, the IBM story that I wrote about in my blog this week came about as a result of a conversation I had with Herb Schultz, who runs marketing for the Deep Computing Group. And that actually came out of a previous session that they had actually talked about with another group of press and analysts at the one of the financial conferences a few weeks ago. So this is sort of a catch-up thing for me as far as, you know, what IBM's HPC strategy was. But I found the conversation quite interesting because it looks like IBM is sort of not switching horses, but it's definitely revamping its HPC strategy. It wants to move much more aggressively into the mainstream market. Herb Schultz is basically saying their revenue is dominated at the top end, which is no surprise. They have a lot of supercomputing wins they announce every year with the Blue Jeans and the Power Systems and such. But they want to move into the below the $500,000 system range, which they consider the mainstream range, and account for a lot more of their sales. I think he said something like only 20% of their revenue is now generated by that market, and they want to get that up to closer to 50%.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting statistic there. I think if you look at the market in general by percent of revenue going to users, really a deceptive amount of revenue really does go to supercomputing class users. So for them to say they want to move more into the mainstream is interesting. There might not be quite as much volume there as they think there is, but if anyone can go do that, IBM can.
Yeah, part of it is they do see, you know, growth from different analysts are talking about growth, but especially from different markets that they haven't been as aggressive in before. I mean, they're known for being, you know, well known in the higher education space, certainly at the government labs, even for these mid-sized systems. Right. But there's customers out there that, you know, Schultz said that there's just better reward for value. In other words, they're willing to pay more for premium products that have software integration, that maybe have services associated with them, the things that IBM makes margin on. So things like, you know, the financial services customers, manufacturing firms, maybe some of the other industrial HPC verticals where they're actually willing to pay money because it adds directly to their bottom line, you know, right. Even investments. You know, they can recoup that money real fast. The return on investment is very rapid.
Yeah, and that does make a lot of sense when you compare those sorts of commercial markets with the academic and research markets. There is a great deal of difference in terms of how they approach services, HPC services, and what kind of add-ons you can buy. And that is where IBM likes to see a lot of its revenue. I mean, the margin is not in the server itself a lot of the time. It's in the options. IBM wants to sell you the undercarriage wash, the full tank of gas, and the insurance options. subscription, right?
And, exactly.
That's where they're going to make their money. IBM is a services company. To me, that's different from saying I want to go into the mid-range instead of the high-end. You know, to say manufacturing companies or finance companies aren't high-end supercomputing users, it depends on who you're looking at. There are a lot of big finance installations out there.
Yeah, but they're not. They don't tend to buy what we would call the capability supercomputing market, which is where IBM sort of dominates in revenue now, the above the $500K limit.
I think you'll find that's incorrect, Michael. Financial services companies are quite capable of buying systems that cost multi-million dollars.
Oh, they're capable. I'm not sure how many systems are out there. Actually, we actually don't know because the financial services customers don't actually announce how big their systems are. But I think in the main, even those systems, even at the richest companies like Goldman Sachs and Citigroup, those probably are, I'm guessing, a lot of smaller mid-range systems for what they're doing.
Depends on what vertical workflow you're talking about in finance. I mean, if you're talking about the financial analytics, the high-frequency trading, these are huge systems. Things that get into banking, capital markets, insurance tend to be smaller systems. But they're all kind of in the higher value play. And I just meant to separate out this thing where we say we're going to go to the mid-range versus we're going to sell more options with our stuff in other verticals. Those are two independent variables.
Yeah, and I think what IBM was talking about is basically their proprietary supercomputing systems, their Blue Genes, their power-based systems, the things that go out to government labs and supercomputing centers.
Right.
And the motivation behind this is, you know, they didn't really make great profit on those systems a lot of the times. You know, they'd build a system that was, you know, they sold it for $50 million and they made, you know, 1% profit on it because it cost them that much to make it. And so IBM wants to sort of shy away from those deals and maybe leaves a little bit of money on the table because it just doesn't pay to get into those kind of deals. I mean, like we were just talking about, they make their money on margins on software and services. So they want their deep computing unit to be more like the rest of IBM, basically, to sell that software and services, wrap it around hardware, and not compete against, you know, value server vendors out there, which they can't do. I mean, they're just not built for that. So
I don't know. I'll believe that when I see it. I think we're going to see some really high profile supercomputing procurements out there, especially as the U.S. looks to react to the Tianhe 1A system.
Yeah.
And if IBM is saying they're not going to bid on that because there's not a lot of profit in it, I think you can hear Cray drooling from here.
Yeah, well, maybe. But yeah, I don't think they're not getting out of that business. Certainly they're going to be a player in exascale in those top systems. But I think only when it really makes sense or when there's government investment behind it that can kind of back it and take up some of the R&D upfront costs. I just think they want to run it more like a business. And yeah, they've told this story before, but I really did get the impression they're more serious about it. I think things are changing in the HPC market for vendors, and IBM, just like everybody else, is reacting.
Well, yeah, IBM and other people are reacting. And, you know, it's funny because over the course of 15 years, I've heard arguments about we got to get into high-performance computing for high margins and we got to get out of high-performance computing and into enterprise for high margins. So,
right.
You know, you can chase the grass is greener a lot of different directions. IBM trying to make a move to sell more services or the sell our stuff with our stuff, SOS-WOS kind of model, you know, is typical for IBM, and I think they can be very successful about it. Whether that means moving into more solutions oriented for some of the commercial verticals or pushing down into the mid-range for other types of adopters, I think they can do that. I'm not convinced they're going to walk away from the lower margin ultra-scale supercomputing business, though.
Yeah, we'll have to watch that. And at the other end, we're about to talk about T Platforms is heading in the other direction. They're looking at the high end of the market with a little more enthusiasm.
We should take a break and hear our sponsor have their words, and then we'll come back in.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Cray. Cray technology is designed to enable scientists and engineers to achieve remarkable breakthroughs by accelerating performance, improving efficiency, and extending the capabilities of your most demanding applications. The new Cray XE6 system incorporates two innovative new technologies: the AMD Opteron 6100 series processor and the revolutionary Gemini Interconnect from Cray. Visit www.cray.com to learn more.
So after that well-timed sponsorship, we should talk about what T-Platforms has announced with their new interconnect.
Yeah, I mean, we're just talking about IBM sort of targeting the mainstream market. Now, we've got T-Platforms, the Russian supercomputer maker, investing in a new sort of proprietary interconnect for the high end for their supercomputer product line. And it was announced actually last week. They came out, they're going to be sort of joint developing this thing with a group at the University of Heidelberg, and it's an interconnect called Extol for Extreme Low Latency Interconnect. And the idea is to produce basically an ASIC chip that they can put on to a blade motherboard to act as a very low latency, high performance interconnect for these very high end systems. So we're talking about the petaflop, petascale systems that they have on the drawing board.
Yeah, this was interesting news from T Platforms. I mean, this is going along the line of reasoning of when everything else is commodity, you've got to differentiate somewhere. And if you're going to differentiate in performance for these larger systems, the custom interconnect is the way to go.
Exactly. I mean, it's the way basically Cray has gone. They've got their Gemini interconnect, and it's the way SGI has gone for their shared memory Altix UV systems. They've also got a custom network inside the system. So,
right. Worth pointing out that BlueJean is a custom architecture as well.
Exactly. They've got their own interconnect there. So yeah, it tends to, even if you've got a commodity CPU, which not in the case of BlueJean, but certainly for the Altix systems and the XT systems for Cray, they've got basically x86, and T Platforms is going to stick with x86, but they've got now an option for a custom interconnect for the high end. So it does make a lot of sense, and it just sort of points to me, it just points to T Platforms wants to become more like a Cray or an SGI, and is not just doesn't want to be another cluster maker out there to go up against, you know, sort of a full field of x86 HPC cluster vendors.
Now, what do you think about this being yet another non-American company coming out with a high-end interconnect? Is this going to put even more pressure on the Yankees to respond?
Well, I think the way this will affect it will be actually in the European market. So IBM and Cray and SGI, they can sell stuff into Europe. And T-Platforms is mainly in Russia and that area, plus Europe and a few other areas. So I think the main competition will be in that area. And so in that sense, yeah, maybe it will spur different things from these companies to try and outcompete. But it's more competition globally for these companies. And for now, T-Platforms is going to stay out of the U.S. market. But, you know, right, who knows? That might not last forever. They have sort of implied at various times they are interested in, you know, seeing if there's a vendors out there willing to resell T-Platforms here. So,
well, and you know, seeing the Europe market heat up in this way is particularly interesting. I don't know that a few years ago I would have predicted it coming out of Russia, but Bull was the only large scale incumbent or even medium scale incumbent European vendor.
Right.
And now they've got another one who's on the map. T Platforms has been getting a lot of attention around the work they've been doing.
Right, and they just got an investment from a state-owned Russian bank. They've got, and I have a feeling that money is going to be used to do some of this development for this interconnect and the subsequent systems, which I think isn't planned until next year at the earliest. But yeah, they seem to have a lot of momentum. They've got some financial backing now that they didn't have before, and yeah, it looks like they want to become a player. And like you said, Bull was sort of the only European native in the market there. Now they've got this competition,
right.
But you know,
it's Western versus Eastern Europe, but
yeah.
You know, they're still, hey, they're in Europe. I'm not in Europe. Good for them.
I mean, there's Eurotech out there that they're also in Europe. There's some smaller integrators, but
right.
it's certainly becoming a little more interesting out there in Europe. And for the US based companies, I think it's all of a sudden, it's going to be a tougher and tougher market. I mean, we saw Bull last year come out with its sort of purpose-built HPC strategy, and there's just more competition everywhere now, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, as with everything, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out for supercomputing, which is my favorite week of the year. And I do have one other little minor piece of news. Speaking of supercomputing, you remember a year ago at the show, at the end of it, we were conjecturing what would the odds be that Oracle would eventually have a booth. I had put it at 7-5 in favor at the time on the odds that just because it was already paid for. Well, then Oracle dropped the Sun booth and they were going to be out. But I've just heard from a contact that Oracle is back in. They're reusing the deposit from their booth to get a smaller one that'll be focused on I/O and storage solutions. So it looks like we are going to see Oracle at supercomputing after all.
Huh, well, that is interesting news. Yeah, I wonder what they'll be talking about there. I mean, they just, I think we just noticed last week, they just bought 10% share of Mellanox for their enterprise business, but they haven't really come out with HPC news per se, other than buying a little piece of HPC technology there. So it'll be interesting to see what they talk about.
I think this is an isolated effort from within Oracle, right, where you get one group who's able to leverage a little bit of discretionary budget in order to show up. You bring up the right question, which is what are they going to be able to talk about at HPC? But this is a company that has luster. They've got a lot of InfiniBand solutions. You know, it's not beyond reason that they should have something interesting to say if they can get the corporate gag order taken off.
Yeah, I mean, they could have stories. Like you said, there's Luster, and the Luster group, I think, is sort of HPC-focused in many ways, even though technically that group is working for the Oracle product line. I mean, they do have different storylines they could put out about data analytics at the high end. They just haven't been that forthcoming about it. So I guess we'll just have to see.
We'll have to see. I'll request a briefing. Maybe they'll actually talk to press and analysts this time around. We'll see.
That would be a change, yes.
All right, Michael. Well, we got one more supercomputing pre-show next Friday, and then it's going to be live from New Orleans.
I can't wait.
And if you'll permit me, I will say that we will have our Intersect 360 research reception with some additional sponsorship from our systems at a restaurant called Mulots right next to the convention center on Monday from 2 to 4:30. So the users and vendors out there can look for some information about that.
Very good. I'll be sure and see you there.
Thanks, Michael. Talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Addison. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by Cray. Join Cray for a university-focused session at the 2010 Supercomputing Conference. To view details and register, visit www.cray.com/xe/university.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.